Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 2 of the Snapchat podcast. I'm your host, Ethan Snap, and we've got a great episode here for you today with my guest, Anthony Monaco. But first, I'd like to give a quick shout out to Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast ever. It's the only app that lets you record a high quality podcast and distribute it everywhere, including Google and Apple Podcasts, all in one place. Create, distribute, host, and monetize your podcast anywhere, anytime for 100% free with Anchor. Now, moving on to introducing my guest for the day. 3 years of D1 basketball at Northern Kentucky University, all-time leading scorer at Dover High School, current men's basketball assistant coach and head men's golf coach at Urbana University, nephew of Hall of Fame basketball coach Bob Huggins. Give it up for Anthony Monaco. Thank you for coming on today, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Man, awesome. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, big time. Big time guest today. So we're just going to move right into it. You know, we don't want to be in here all night.
No.
So first topic, you played high-level basketball, you know, for a really long time. Played high-level college, high-level AAU. I'm curious, and I'm sure everybody else is curious. What is the best team? Let's do best team and best player that you ever played against in AAU or college. It can be either one, or it can be both. But we just want to hear some big names. We're expecting some NBA players, hopefully. So if you could just tell us who the best team and best player you played against.
All right. So AAU, you know, we played at high level West Virginia Wildcats. You know, we were playing in Durham, North Carolina, actually playing at Duke, back when you could play at Duke.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore, back when you could play at Duke. And Connecticut Basketball Club shows up, and we just beat team final, and we beat some other teams like that, so we thinking we're good, right? In comes Andre Drummond.
There you go.
Andre Drummond goes absolutely nutty on us. I mean, the Connecticut Basketball Club is the best team we ever played in AU. We beat all these other teams, could beat them. We come to the Connecticut Basketball Club, see Andre Drummond, dude's doing windmills, leading the fast break.
Yeah.
He was insane. I mean, and we played some other dudes that are NBA pros now, like Bradley Beal and all them, but yeah. Andre Drummond was the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andre Drummond's having a heck of an NBA career, too. And he went to UConn for your day.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to UConn.
Yeah, he's the real
deal. Stud.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what about in college?
College, man. Played against a lot of guys, like, just Wisconsin, the year they went to the Final Four, year they went to the national championship game, played those guys, played against Kentucky's national championship contender team,
mm-hmm.
You know, played against all kinds of guys like that, played against North Carolina back when they were good with Marcus Page and them. But honestly, the best guy, hardest guy we had to ever guard was Tyler Harvey. Eastern Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Leading scorer in Division One that year. I think it was 2015.
Yep.
He was, boy, lefty, smooth, shot it from anywhere. You just never knew what he was doing.
That was an out-of-conference game for you guys at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. So you played at Northern when they were A-Sun?
Yes, yep.
And you guys played against Torrey Craig, right?
Yeah, played against Torrey Craig.
For those of you guys that don't know, Torrey Craig is with the Denver Nuggets right now. He's having a heck of an NBA career. Another guy who's made a good career for himself out of a mid-major school. It's always great to see guys like that. But, yeah, that Wisconsin team with Kaminsky and Decker. And I remember...
They were so good.
Oh,
Bronson Koenig came off the bench.
Yeah, Bronson Koenig.
You know what he did the next
year.
Yeah,
the next year when those guys
left. The Elite Eight.
Yep, and he hit that shot against Xavier.
Yep.
Yeah, Bronson Koenig.
He came off the bench.
Yeah, he did come off the bench.
That's right. They were good.
Was Jim Jackson still there?
Yeah, Trey was still there. Trayvon.
Yeah, he was tough.
Yeah, he was nice.
That team was crazy. Now
playing my AAU team. Trayvon did.
Oh, did he really?
Yep, played with Trayvon.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. That team was crazy. They were good. And then North Carolina with Paige and them.
Yeah, they were good. Had
I remember
JP Tokido, James Michael McAdoo.
Yeah. And you guys were on ESPN.
Yep. Down five most of the game.
Yeah.
You can beat by eight.
Yeah, it was a close game the whole game. It's crazy all the guys you play against coming up in AAU and then moving on to see what they do later in life. It's crazy. I mean, I played against Harry Giles and Jason Tatum. We played a bunch of guys, and it's just how they end up being, like, they're already so good when playing against them the first time, but then they end up on a whole other level, and you're just like, man, I was on the same court as that dude.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Do you think about it, too? Look how far basketball's taken us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been to probably over three-quarters of the states.
Right.
I mean, playing basketball between AAU, playing in college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an experience. Yeah, you dedicate your life to it, and you're there all the time, especially, you know, Division One. You get no summers. You don't get Christmas. You don't get Thanksgiving. You don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Spring break, nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's worth it in the end. I mean, you see a lot of cool places, great opportunities, playing in front of, you know, 10 to 20-some thousand people a night. I mean, we could erupt the 1 year, there's 24,000 people. They're waiting outside the gym to get in. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's crazy. There's a lot of places that I've been because of basketball that had I not been there because of basketball, I'd have never been there my entire life.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it does for us, especially AAU, as much as I have my thoughts on AAU, you know, it does. It's a great opportunity for anybody that ever gets a chance to play it. And then, you know, obviously college basketball, everything that comes with college basketball is, I mean, like you said, it's a lot of work, but it's all worth it in the end. If you love basketball that much, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So moving on. So Coach is the nephew of legendary coach, Hall of Fame coach. We can put him in now. Bob Huggins had some awesome years at Cincinnati. Where was he before Cincinnati?
He was at Walsh in Akron. He started at Walsh.
Okay.
He was actually, well, let's go back. He started at Ohio State and was a recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a GA before that, I think, at West Virginia, and then he was a recruiter at Ohio State. And then, you know, he got the job at Walsh.
So that was his first head coaching job
at Walsh? First head coaching job at Walsh, Canton, Ohio. D2 school right now.
Yep.
You know, predominantly pretty good, though.
Yeah, no, they're solid.
So, a lot of people, actually, there's a lot of coaches that came off his staff when he was at Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, coaching college.
Yep.
He was there, I think the first year he didn't do so well. Second year he was in the national championship game. So then he goes to UCF as the assistant that next year, and then he gets the job back at Akron, up home, and then lands at Cincinnati, and then, you know, everything goes down.
The rest is history.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, has all those crazy guys like Kenyon Martin, Steve Logan, and Jason Maxey. Just
shout out Eric Hicks.
Yeah, Eric Hicks. Just a ton of players.
Man, was a beast.
Ton of players, right? And then he goes to Kansas State for a year, wins out there, and now he's home.
Yep.
So.
And there, I mean, he's had some awesome years at West Virginia. They beat Kentucky and. Was Elite Eight, what was that, 2011?
2010.
Yeah.
They had John Wall and...
Yeah, no, that Kentucky team was good. That West Virginia team was solid too, though.
Yes.
And I think that was Deshaun Butler's year,
it was.
Right? Yeah, yep. And he was a really good player.
Devin Ebanks, it's your boy, Indiana.
Devin Ebanks, yeah.
Devin Ebanks.
We thought he was going to Indiana. I remember me and my dad used to... We were like, yeah, Ebanks coming out of Indiana. He's a big gift for the Hoosiers, and he ended up at West Virginia. We were like, oh, my gosh.
That's Calvin Sampson.
It was
Calvin Sampson.
No, that was Crean just starting off.
Oh, okay. Because
Calvin Sampson's last year was Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's year. And then he got, yeah. And that was stupid. That ruined Indiana basketball for a few years. But, yeah, so you're his nephew. You've been around him a lot, you know, through the Cincinnati days. And you were GA there for a year, right?
GA there for a year.
So, and everybody knows how Huggins is. Man, he's off the wall. He's super entertaining on the sidelines. He's, you know, people got their stories about him. We want to hear your best Bob Huggins story, just basketball related, whether it was when you were GA there, or I mean, just being around him as a fan. I mean, I know you still watch all of his games, try to watch a lot of his games, and you know, just you still talk to him about the team, even though you're not there anymore on staff. You know, you still get the inside scoop from the man himself. So we're all just interested to hear your best Huggins story.
All right. There's so many that I don't even know. You
know I know, yeah. Just, I've heard a lot
I'll
of
tell
them.
You a good one. So it's Kenyon Martin. It might be, I don't know what year it is. It's either his junior year or something like that. They're playing terrible.
Right.
Anyways, he's Kenyon dominating like normal.
Yep.
Kenny Satterfield comes over and it's him and I think it's him and Steve Logan, the guards, and another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, you know, they have 15 scholarships.
Right.
So he was telling me, you know, if you screw up, you might be out for 4 games because you had 15 dudes that come in and take your place and they're all hungry to play.
Yep.
Right? So they come down and playing terrible. He says that if that Kenyon does that number 4, Kenyon Martin does not touch the ball every time down the floor, none of you guys will play ever again. None of you will play ever again. Kenny Satterfield gets a steal, goes down, he goes up, he's yelling on the side, he says, dunk it. He's yelling, dunk it. Kenny turns to him, pulls it back out, looks for Kenyon, doesn't dunk it. Doesn't dunk it. He said, Coach, I like my scholarship. So, I mean, the man's the most demanding but most caring person I think there's ever been in
for sure
college basketball or coaching in general.
You could tell. I mean, especially with the group like he has right now. I mean, since he's been at West Virginia, they've always – I mean, he's had great teams at West Virginia. As far as just raw individual talent, this is one of his least talented years.
Least talented, for sure.
But – on a nightly basis, I mean, he's still getting a lot out of these guys. Yeah. You know, they just got a huge win against Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys, you can tell, and it's not just this group. It's been every group that he's ever coached, no matter what school he's at. He's getting the most he can get out of what he has. I mean, you know, guys love playing for him. I've never heard any person that's played for him tell me, oh, man, I can't stand playing for him. I mean, you know, guys love him. A buddy of my dad's was a walk-on for him at Cincinnati. And, you know, you're a walk-on at a high-major D1 school. Some people that have experienced that or that had really bad experiences with it, you know, just because they may feel, I mean, you know, it's just a different role to embrace. But, you know, he said his time in Cincinnati was great, and he loved playing for Huggins, being around him, and, you know, it was probably the best decision he ever made was going to Cincinnati and playing for Huggins.
Yeah. I mean, he's a father figure for him.
Oh, you know absolutely,
I
mean? Yeah.
He's there when he needs it, or, well, should say he's there with a kick in the butt when you need it and the push, and then he's also there, though, when you actually do need him. He's caring in that way. And, you know, it goes a long way with your players. Mm-hmm. And anything you do, you got to know. I mean, obviously you want to push them to their full potential, but in the end they got to know that you love them or – you know, they're not going to give all out for you.
Yep, for sure. And he's always been a winner. He wins no matter where he's at. And, you know, it's that type of mentality that always has his program.
Always wins his way,
top.
Too.
Yep.
Wins his way.
For sure. He's definitely a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't think he's not in yet, is he?
No.
He will be.
Almost 900 wins, not
guaranteed. In. Guaranteed. You know, he's still coaching. That's probably why they didn't put him in yet. But he's in. I mean, he's in. That's no question. But moving on to our next topic, we wanted to go ahead and get some sleeper teams for you guys for the NCAA tournament. I know a lot of people like the, you know, like the way too early predictions, you know, who's your sleeper. We're 19 to 23 games is what teams are around by now. So, I mean, we're pretty far in. We've had a chance to watch teams. Honestly, I'll admit there's still some teams that I haven't seen play yet. But, you know, I've still seen a lot of games, and we did five sleepers, and then our way too early Sweet 16, because honestly, any predicting you ever do at the NCAA tournament, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you're always wrong. It's wild. As wild as it is.
They're giving you $1 million, or $1 billion, you get a perfect bracket, because it doesn't happen.
It's impossible. So, I mean, you know, you're just taking a shot in the dark and having some fun with it, so that's kind of what we did here. So we can start with our sleepers. So my first sleeper that I chose here, Murray State, 16-3 overall, 7-1 OVC, first team in OVC right now. It was probably leading candidate to win college basketball player of the year right now.
Gotta be.
Ja Morant, averaging 24 points, 5.5 rebounds, 10.5 assists. Anytime you can average double figure assists in college basketball, man, you're
playing.
You're special. Yeah, I mean, that's tough, special. You know. But Murray State, they're having a really good year, top of the OVC. Do you want to do, like, back and forth?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, you go ahead and do yours then, your first one.
My biggest sleeper in the whole tournament, I even got him in my Sweet 16s, UNC Greensboro. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go down to Rupp Arena, and they got Kentucky on the ropes beginning of the year. I mean, they're a solid team. They got a good scorer.
That's right.
They got all kinds of
They did play. That's right.
Played at Rupp. Yeah, I forgot. Good on the Rupp in front of all those people. I mean, they're taking them to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
You see, last year, too, they took – who they played in the tournament last year?
Oh, gosh.
I forget who they played last year, but they took them down to the wire. I think it was Duke.
Was it Duke?
I think so.
They were 15 seed last year, right?
Yeah.
They played a 2 seed.
I think it was somebody. Somebody that was really good. I mean, they're taking them down to the wire. They got guys that can score, they defend well, and they got a stud. So, I mean,
that's the thing. A lot of these sleepers always have a guy
that
can just go get you some buckets when you need it. Yep. My second team is Liberty. They're 18-4 right now, 7-0 undefeated in Atlantic Sun, first in Atlantic Sun. They have four players right now that are averaging double figures. They have a scoring margin right now, so they're beating teams by an average of 17.4 points per game, which is sixth best in the country. The first five teams are all top. I think it might be the top five teams in the country.
Yeah.
And then Liberty. So they're allowing the fifth least amount of points per game in the country. They're only allowing 59 points per game in the country. So they're locking teams up. And then, you know, they're averaging over 75 points a game. They've got some trademark wins under their belt. They're really solid. You know, I was recruited for a little bit by them out of high school. So, you know, I still like to follow them as much as I can. And, you know, they're always in the mix, and especially in the Atlantic Sun now. I know it's changed since I came into college, you know, with Northern used to be in there. I think Mercer was in there, but they may not be anymore.
No,
yeah.
Not.
So, I mean, it's changed around, but, you know, it's still a solid conference. They usually have a good showing in the tournament. Yep. A few years ago, they had Florida Gulf Coast go, you know, as far as they did and have a huge tournament run. Everybody loved that.
Mercer beat Duke next year.
That's right, yeah, Mercer beat Duke. So, North, I mean,
Florida was good a couple of years ago.
Yep, it's always whoever comes out of that conference usually has a shot to shock somebody. Yeah. And with Liberty having the year they're having, I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise to see them make a deep run.
My next team, Stony Brook. Coach Bull's over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we Ohio State guy. He's also got a couple other people on staff there from up home, and he's got them playing. I mean, I know one thing, they're definitely guarding.
Right.
I mean, they're guarding over there. That's what he does. I mean, he's preaches guarding and everything else. So, you know, Stony Brook only lost 4 games this year. Will they come out of their conference? I don't know.
What conference are they in?
Honestly, I don't know. What's over there?
I can't remember. Are they?
It's not the Patriot League. It's not any of those.
I might have to look that up real quick. What is Davidson in now?
The Davidson is in, they in the Big South or the SoCon?
I can't remember. They changed them all.
Yeah, they changed all of them. Everyone's gone in and out.
Yeah, it's weird. And I used to know all of them because I used to play the college basketball video games. And I knew my heart.
They need to bring that back.
Oh, for sure. Oh, man. What conference?
They're in the same conference as Hofstra.
Okay.
Right? Is that what they're in? What's Hofstra in?
Hofstra? Are they in there with Vermont?
And Vermont might even be in there, too. Oh, be honest, man, with you. What are they in?
It doesn't say. It should be on their schedule. Hold on. Men's basketball. Oh, yeah, they're having a heck of a year. The American East, that's what it's called. Yeah, okay.
American East.
Yeah, Vermont.
UMBC's in there. Vermont's in there. Vermont's another sleeper that was on my list, didn't make the final cut, but another team that's very good. So I'm saying if Stony Brook can come out.
Hartford gave West Virginia a game. Was that last year or this year?
That was this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid conference.
UMBC obviously beat Virginia last year. I mean, who can forget that?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's – Vermont's always, they're always tough.
Yep.
Yeah,
always
Stony
got
Brooks,
one guy
that
really shoots.
Man.
Yep.
Beat Northern Iowa, that's a good win.
Yep.
Yeah, they're having a good year.
Yep. They're tough.
Heck yeah.
Beat South Carolina. They beat South Carolina.
Yeah, they did.
They beat
South Carolina.
At South Carolina. I'm telling you, man. They can play.
Yeah, they're definitely having a good year, for sure. My next team on the list, little hometown shout out. Northern Kentucky, I mean, they're having a great year. 18-4, 8-1 in the Horizon League, leading the Horizon League currently. Newport kid, Drew McDonald, averaging 19 a game for them right now. I mean, he's probably going to win Horizon Player of the League, or Player of the Year, sorry. And he's having a great year. They're only losses, so they got 4 losses. They got 1 in a conference loss to Oakland by 2 points. From what it looked like, game they probably came out, took a team a little lightly, probably shouldn't have, and
probably,
you know, in conference games are always tough no matter who it is, bottom of the conference, top of the conference, it doesn't matter, you know, guys are scouting, you know, everybody knows how everybody plays, so you know, that's kind of what that loss seems like. And then they lost to Cincinnati, who's
not a bad loss.
They're solid. Central Florida is not a bad loss.
No. Central Florida, another team on the sleeper list.
They're solid. They're solid. They got some athletes, and then they got a big monster down low.
Monster.
Sits in there. He's
Tua, or whatever his name is.
Taco.
Taco, yep. Taco, that's his name.
And then another loss to in-state rival Eastern Kentucky.
That's kind of a bad one.
That's
kind of a bad one.
EKU's not having a great season, but in-state rivalry.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you know, those are important games. You know, those in-state teams, especially with mid-major schools.
Yeah.
Those are prideful games. So EKU probably came to play.
Probably.
I know EKU's got a 2,000-point scorer there right now.
They do.
Nick Mayo,
yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
I mean, but other than that, you know, Northern's having a heck of a year. Brandon's getting it done.
Brandon is getting it done.
Your boys are getting it done this year, man.
Brandon can coach, man.
Yeah, he's doing a good
job.
He
gets a lot out of his guys.
Yes.
He gets a ton out of his guys.
Yep.
He's a no BS guy.
Yeah.
Definitely a no BS guy. Gets the most out of them. And they run. You know, they just run their stuff well.
Mm-hmm.
Defend
their butts off.
Yep,
sure.
They fly around, and you know that in that system, Drew McDonald's a stud.
Yep.
He's a stud.
Fits perfectly for him.
So, next team. Go with. I'll just go with who we just talked about. UCF. I think they're a big sleeper. I mean, they beat. I know they beat West Virginia. I know they beat some other schools like that. But I mean, they're having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they got a big man. Taco. Got him down low. They got some guards that are really good.
We
got
to fix Taco's free throws.
No doubt about
Holy
that.
Holy cow.
No doubt about that. That's one of those teams you look at when you're in the selection Sunday and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We got to play them?
Yes.
First round?
And, like, they surround Taco with a bunch of dudes that are, like, super athletic. Yep. And, you know, just get after it on D.
Yep.
They got a few guys that can hit some open shots. I mean, they're awkward.
It's a solid team.
They're awkward matchup. And they're in a tough conference, too. They're in the AAC?
Yeah. No. Conference USA?
They're in one of those.
They're in Conference USA or AAC. You're right.
I don't know which one.
It's one of them.
My research is bad.
Yeah, it was.
But I know they're solid. I've seen them play. I watched them play last year. They're a solid team, though, for sure. That's a good sleeper to have. Fourth team on my list for sleepers is Belmont, 15-4 overall, third in the OVC. I mean, Coach Bird's a legend.
Yeah.
He's probably another Hall of Fame coach.
Yep.
Belmont is never not good.
No.
They're always solid. They run the, you know, they run their stuff, man. They're smart players, smart guys. It's a really, really good program, a winning program, winning culture. I mean, that's what they do. That's my fourth team.
It's your fourth team?
Yep.
My fourth team is going to be Yale.
Oh, yeah, they're solid.
They've lost three games all year. You know, they got a stud, like normal. I mean, they got the, like all the sleepers do. You got one stud, you stop him, you got a chance. But, you know, no one ever talks about them. They don't have a conference championship game. You know, they don't have anything like that. It's just whoever wins the regular season. So every game matters in that conference.
Yeah.
It's not like you can go to the conference tournament. And obviously, I'm not saying that every game don't matter, but...
Right, but I know what you mean.
Every game in that conference matters a lot.
You start 0-0 with the conference tournament.
Yep. So, I mean, they're tough. And was it last year or 2 years ago, they about got somebody. I want to say they about got Texas Tech or somebody, didn't they?
I remember what I don't remember what year you're talking about, but I remember Yale having a nice...
They had that point
had
guard.
A real nice team. I've actually seen their head coach on the AAU circuit quite a bit.
Have you?
When I was coming up. Probably looking at guys we were playing against. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't looking at you, not with your GPA, right?
Yeah, you're not lying. You are not lying. I don't like school enough to go to Yale, man. That's probably... Whew.
You know they got to be smart down there. They're running some kind of crazy...
Right, yeah, they're probably running phenomenal sets.
It's almost like Princeton. Princeton was good a couple years ago, too.
Yeah. They run the Princeton offense,
that's
probably.
Right. That's right. Wasn't hard to figure that one out, was it? Let's look at this here. What we got?
You got...
We got one guy on Yale, okay? Alex Copeland.
Okay.
He's getting 11 points a game. They got another guy getting 16. So it's a balanced attack. Another guy getting 11. I mean, these guys are tough, man. I'm telling you.
No, they played Duke this year, right? At Duke?
Yeah.
And it ended up being a 25-point loss, I think. But, I mean, it was a tight game. You're playing Duke at Cameron Indoor. It's tough. Yale had it within 12 for the first 25, 28 minutes of that game, I'm pretty sure, if I remember right. And then, you know, Zion happened. They went on a huge run. And
Zion.
Yeah, Duke turned up on them. But, I mean, Yale's solid.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, when you got a group of 15 really smart guys.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do something, right?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are out there making the right plays. Yeah. Good things are going to happen on the court. And then my last team was a sleeper that you already had, UNC Greensboro, second to SoCon, 19-3 overall. Like you said, they gave Kentucky a game at Rupp. They got their guy who can do his thing. You know, all the sleepers. Like, UMBC had that dude against Virginia last year. He went crazy. Went off for, like, 30-something. So, I mean, all these sleeper teams got to have a guy. UNC Greensboro's got a guy. They're in a solid conference, so they play against pretty good competition with Wofford in there with them. So that's my last sleeper team that I have for my list.
My last is going to be St. John's. I don't – if they get in, you better watch out. Shamari Ponce the truth. He's probably, if the kid from Murray State is the best guard in the country, he's the second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's getting you a bucket every time when he needs to. I think I just heard Mullins talking about the only problem he has is he gets too complacent. I just saw that. They were playing Georgetown the other day. I think that's what he said. He said, just too complacent. It's just the game comes too easy to him. Mm-hmm. That's a hard problem to have, I guess. The game comes that easy to you.
Sometimes
you just
he's
get complacent.
Too good.
He's just too good. You know what I mean? So you see Shamari Pons, you see those guys long, athletic like St. John's is, and rebound the piss out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're in trouble. I mean, they're a 12 seed or something. You're a 5 seed. You're looking at them like, wow, we got to really play this game.
Those are the type of games you look and you're like, you're going through your bracket and you're like, how the hell is St. John's a 12 seed? 12 seed. Like, they were ranked 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, that's a good call, though. Shamari Pons, man, that's my little brother's favorite player.
Is it?
He's a stud.
He is a stud.
Yeah, he's stud. Crazy. Moving on. So we're going to move into our way too early Sweet 16. The way we did it is just split it into, like, our top four teams, and then our next four, until we get 16 teams, obviously. So I'll start it off with my first four teams. So I got Tennessee, Duke, Gonzaga, and Michigan. With Tennessee, you got Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. You know, these guys are experienced. You know, they were there last year. Grant Williams is a monster inside. Gosh, he's a monster. And then Schofield's tough, too. You know, these guys defend. They can score. Yep. They can run in transition. They can go inside. They can shoot. They got guys who can shoot with, I think, Bone.
Yep.
Bone can shoot it. So, I mean, yeah, they're tough. The only problem I have with Tennessee, I've written down right here, Rick Barnes is not... performed in the NCAA tournament, and you made this point the other day to me.
I did.
He's only made one Final Four ever, which I did not realize. Ever. And the only Final Four he ever made was with TJ Ford and Royal Ivy.
Yeah.
Two NBA guys who were like, in the league. I mean, he's had LaMarcus Aldridge, he's had DJ Augustine, Avery Bradley, Kevin Durant.
I mean, just the last one. Think of the last one.
Damian James.
Durant. Got beat in the first round with Kevin Durant.
Dexter Pittman. He's had, you know, all these guys, and the furthest, he's got the one Final Four. So I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, obviously he's got talent. That's why his record's so good. Yeah. He wins the games.
I know, but man.
I want to put Tennessee up there because they do have a really good team. But his record does not.
No. Yeah. But I'll tell you this: he's rejuvenated. I think getting out of Texas, he went to Tennessee. He's built that program back up to where it should have been.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? I think he's rejuvenated. He's got those guys playing.
It was something new for him. And I'm sure it's a better feeling for him, too. You know, these guys like playing for him. But he's like, man, I get a different group, different school, different conference. You know, all these guys will know what I'm doing now. So I could definitely see that working for him. Next team is obviously Duke. You got Zion and RJ averaging 46 a game, which is more than half the team's point per game. Cam Reddish is an absolute stud. You know, Jack White.
Yeah.
I gotta give a Jack White shout out because the man's just like hard hat, lunch pail every game.
Every game.
You don't want to rebound and dive on the floor, but I do, so I'm going to do it for y'all so you guys can shoot and dunk and do all the highlight stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just be the role player. Love that guy. He's a stud. And then Coach K, man, he gets it done. I know a lot of people hate Duke. A lot of people hate Mike Krzyzewski, but Coach K, he gets it done. He's a winner, man. I mean,
can't go against him.
You can't, no. And then moving on, Gonzaga.
Mark Few is the man.
He's great. I've always said that he's an underrated coach. They're the highest scoring team in the country. They're averaging 92 points a game, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then they got Rui Hachimura, who's projected to be lottery pick right now. 20 points, 9 rebounds a game. Josh Perkins, Zach Norville, back from last year's team. And then they have a redshirt junior transfer from San Jose State, who was all conference in that conference before he came to Gonzaga. Yep. He sat out last year. He's here this year, Brandon Clark. He's averaging almost 12 rebounds a game for Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got guys that know how to play. I feel like they're always like that.
They are always like that.
Yeah.
He always gets a foreigner.
Right.
That knows how to play.
Yep. Every year.
I mean, he's always got Canadian connection or something. Or
like, even the guys that aren't very experienced that play for Gonzaga play like veterans.
Yeah, they do.
Like, moving on to Michigan, they have those same type of guys.
Yep, they do.
Yeah.
They do. John Beilein's on a heck of a job.
He's great. Oh, he's doing really well. And, you know, Michigan's got this Brazdeikis. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Ignis Brazdeikis? I don't know. I watched Michigan play the Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's torture.
Ooh, it's bad. But Michigan's tough, man. Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, Xavier Simpson, John Teske, all four back from the Final Four team last year. They allow the third least points per game in the country, 56.5 points a game.
Pretty good.
They're locking up. So, Michigan's solid.
Yeah.
Those are my first four teams.
I like him top four teams.
Yeah.
Mine are a little different. Besides the first one, I like Tennessee still. I still think they play probably harder than any other team in the country, to be honest with you. That's my biggest takeaway from them. They got two bigs that are just crazy good. Mm-hmm. I mean, just come at you. They're drunk yard dogs.
Right.
They'll do anything. They'll score. They'll rebound. They'll play defense. You can't find that everywhere. So that's a big deal for them. Tennessee. My second team's Virginia. Now, I know they got beat. Number one seed got beat by 16. I know that. But, hey, that was a fluke. It was a fluke. Man, I'm a huge fan of Tony Bennett. I think what he does defensively is unheard of. And the way that he gets his offense moving and the blockers moving in action and everything else he does. And Kyle Guy's the man.
Mm-hmm.
This man's coming off screens like almost like J.J. used to. Not as good, but
no, you know, yeah,
still. Obviously. And different system. So, mm-hmm. And then Nevada is my third team.
Oh,
boys
yeah.
are 19-1,
yeah,
they're or 18-1, whatever they are. I mean, they're tough. The two twins are just
twins.
Nasty. I mean,
yeah.
they're tough. So I like them. And then my last one's Gonzaga. I like Gonzaga too. I think Mark Few's really good in March. Him and Tom Izzo, you can count on them being somewhere.
Oh, Tom Izzo is the man.
You can count on them being somewhere.
They need to name March Madness after Tom Izzo. Good Lord. That man always has his team ready.
Always.
And to start my second tier teams, I actually have Michigan State. Cassius Winston. I played against Nick Ward a lot in high school and AAU. Dude's a beast.
Yeah, he's big.
Gosh, he's a beast. And he's a lefty.
Yep.
So awkward. He's a beast. And then they got Mac McQuaid, who's, you know, just like that maverick guy that every super good team needs.
Yep.
I mean, he shoots 41% from three.
That's pretty good.
That's great. And then, you know, I have on my notes right here, Tom Izzo in all caps. Because, like, how do you not know? You just can't go against Tom Izzo in the NCAA tournament. He's
for a span there was like if you stayed there for 4 years, you were in the national championship or in the Final Four.
Yep.
And that was a span that happened for like 12 years, didn't it? I mean, he was probably going to the Final Four. Like, it felt like every other year he was there. Didn't matter if his team was good or not.
Yeah.
He was always there.
He's always got his guys ready.
And it's like they get beat first round or they go to the Final Four. Like, there's no
in between. Yeah.
There's really no in between. Right. Get beat first round, go to the Final Four. Who did they beat by that 1 year?
Oh,
Middle Tennessee State got them.
Yeah.
Right?
They
were the 2 seed.
Yep.
Middle Tennessee's a 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so it's like
they had those years.
Go for all or bust.
But man, Izzo's good. He's another Hall of Fame coach for sure.
No doubt.
Moving on, I have Virginia in my second tier because of last year. I am not over it. I'm not over it yet. How do you lose? Oh man. And they didn't lose.
No, they got blown out.
They got pounded.
Yeah, they got pounded.
You're holding teams to 50 points a game every game of the year, and then you get to the first round of the tournament and this team did they have a losing record?
No, I don't think they did they?
No, maybe it was a different team. But still, a 16 beating a 1.
Yeah,
I think 16
crazy.
Seeds are like 1 in 115 all time.
Somebody.
No, exactly. Oh, my gosh. So I dropped them down to my second-tier team. Do they deserve to be a first-year team? Probably. I mean, this year they're only allowing 52.6 points per game. In 19 games, they're 19 games through. They still haven't even given up 1,000 points this year.
It's crazy. It's like you watch a game and it's like close, it's like 5 points, and all of a sudden they go in a span. Last 10 minutes, the opponent team hasn't scored, or they've only scored 2 points, all of a sudden they're up 20 or something.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow.
I was in the student center the other night watching them play Wake Forest, and I flipped to the – who was it? It was somebody else playing. Flipped to that game, flipped back to Virginia Wake Forest. The score is 28-3. like that. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? Like, how did – teams, they just can't score on them. They got Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome, who I feel like he's been there for 10 years.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's a stud.
Yeah.
And then they got, like, it's like Diakite or something. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
And their big man. What's the big man's name?
I know who you're talking about. Is it?
What the heck's his name?
He's got a weird name, don't
he? Yeah, he does. What the heck's his name?
I know who you're talking about.
Just huge. I mean, just.
He is, yeah.
Talk about a screen.
Yep.
He lays the wood.
I know who you're talking about.
Yep. He lays the wood.
7th team, Kansas. Literally. Like, at first, I have, like, people's names and stats here, but at first I was just going to put talent. And that's all I was going to say. Because, I mean, they're loaded.
Yeah.
When they're healthy, they're loaded. They got Dedrick Lawson, transfer from Memphis. LeGerald Vick, Udoka Azubuike, Quentin Grimes. And they got another guy. And I can't remember his name right now. But, like, Kansas is loaded. Like, they're super talented, super athletic. Like,
I'll tell you what they're missing. Azubuike.
Until
he comes back, man, they're struggling. Just telling you. You got beat by West Virginia.
They did
down
get
here
by,
from
yeah.
West Virginia.
They did get beat by West
I know
Virginia.
It's at Morgantown, tough place to play, but you can't lose at West Virginia this year.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They got to get Azubuike back.
He's a beast. He's definitely a problem.
Yep.
I mean, he's
whole,
so big and strong.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Changes shots.
Yep.
He's their low post presence.
Yep.
They ain't got one right now.
Yep. Lawson plays
he's
inside
slashing,
out. Yeah,
really
slashing type player. And then my last team of the second four is Texas Tech. I watched Texas Tech play West Virginia. That was the first time I saw them play. That was the first time I saw Jarrett Culver play.
He's good, man.
And I had only heard about him at first, and I saw his numbers, and I'm thinking, like, this dude's a point guard. He's
like 6'6".
Yeah, he's like 6'6", 6'7". He's like a wing guard. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I really like his game.
Was he top 15 pick projected?
Yeah. Lottery pick? Yeah, easy, yeah. I mean, he's projected, yeah, around there, probably higher. He's averaging 18-7. Texas Tech, though, as well as Virginia plays defense, are right behind Virginia defensively. Second least amount points per game in the country, only allow 56.4 points per game.
Yep.
Matt Mooney and Tariq Owens are both on Naismith Defensive Player of the Year watch list for the final 15 players, which is crazy. You have two guys on the same team. And then and
Chris Beard gets them to play, man.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a great job.
He is doing a great job.
And they're starting five. They got a lot of upperclassmen. I think Jarrett Culver's the youngest guy. They got two grad students in there. Yep. Matt Mooney and Tariq Owens are both grad students. So, I mean, that helps. You got older guys like that that just know how to play.
Experience.
People don't understand in college, and especially in college basketball, how much that helps, having guys who've already have the experience, been there, done that. That helps so much to have guys like that. And you have two guys that are not only experienced players but fifth year seniors that can play. Oh, man.
Crazy. The next four I have, Duke. We already talked about them. You know, they're going to be up there. I didn't put them in the first four because they're young.
Yeah.
You know, and
they had a team like that a few years ago that got beat. So.
Yep. And I mean, sometimes when your youth shows in the tournament, playing on the big stage, it shows. So.
Yep.
I got them. I got Michigan. I think Michigan's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defend well, score well, all that stuff. I got Kentucky in there. Just beat Kansas. You know, they're kind of hit or miss, though. But he's got them playing. They're playing defense now. They weren't playing defense. Tyler Herro starting to shoot the ball in. You know, they got some other guys that can play. So, and then my last of the four is Michigan State. Like I said, can't go against Tom Izzo.
You can't.
You just can't do it.
No, you definitely
so, you
can.
Know, he's going to be there.
Yep, for sure.
I mean, even though they look bad against Purdue, you're thinking, oh, Purdue's going to have to blow them out by 30. They come all the way back in that game.
I think Tom Izzo started off like 0-1 the last 5 years.
Oh, has to.
Like, he always does. But then, like, by the end of the year, they're always. Yeah. Like, you see them first game of the year, and they're like, oh, man, they look down. Like, they look like they lost some guys. And then at the end of the year in the tournament, they're in the Elite Eight, and you're like, they're really good. Like,
And Winston's playing well. That helps.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, he's real good. Moving on, I have and my first team for my third group, Kentucky, like you said, you know, Tyler Herro is finally starting to you know, shoot at a higher clip, you know, more efficient, for sure. They got the Keldon Johnson. They got nine guys right now playing around or above 15 minutes a game.
Yep.
Reed Travis is a great role guy, another grad student guy. Yep. I hate Kentucky with all my heart, but they are solid. They're playing well right now. 10th team I have is Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. We talk about Buffalo. They're real tough. Massenburg. Who's that? West Virginia?
West Virginia, 42. First game of the year, Massenburg, 42? I think it was.
Went crazy.
Went nutty on him.
He can score. He can score in bunches for sure. A lot of these guys have experience from their tournament run last year. Yeah. How did they get last year?
I want to say they won. They beat Arizona. What do you mean?
I know, but how deep did they get?
I think they got beat in the next game.
In the round of 32?
Yeah, they got beat in the round 32.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, I remember that.
Got everybody back, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't write it down or anything, but wouldn't surprise me. They're having a really good year. And then
what's their head coach's name?
At Buffalo?
Yeah.
What's his name? I don't know.
Anyways, whatever. I forget his name. He's a great coach.
No, but yeah.
What he teaches and preaches on offense is the dribble, drive, and kick. Get your guy to commit. Make two guys play one. Kick, shot. Guys that shoot it in, too.
Yeah,
and that's the whole presence of his offense.
That's why they were so fun to watch in the tournament last year, because they space out the floor.
Yep,
and they have a lot of guys that can shoot it, but they move the ball really well. They play really well together, and that's what made them really fun to watch. 11th team, Houston, Kelvin Sampson, my guy, had Indiana basketball rolling.
He did.
Eric Gordon.
Houston's rolling.
Houston's tough, man. They're good. They got a junior, Armani Brooks. He's the team's leading scorer and rebounder. They're only giving up 60 points a game, which is sixth in the country. I mean, kind of like they were last year. I mean, Kelvin Sampson's just really good. He's really good. And then 12th team, Wisconsin, Ethan Happ.
Got to go with Ethan Happ.
Ethan Happ.
That is my man.
19-10 a game. They're 13th in the country for overall defense. Brad Davison, the guy who took, isn't that the guy who took five charges in a game?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like
I mean,
that.
A couple of them are like a little iffy. But.
If you got guys that are taking five charges in a game, though, I mean, you know, that's the type of NCAA tournament play you need.
Ethan Happ's a man, though.
Ethan Happ is.
He have two triple doubles already?
Probably. In college basketball, that's incredible.
That's incredible.
That's crazy. Who was the guy? Bo Ryan. Bo Ryan instilled a culture in Wisconsin that is still there
coach
without
Barnes
him being the head coach.
I mean, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, so those are my next four teams.
My next four, I got Buffalo. Coach Oates, that's what it is.
Coach Oates. Yeah, that's Nate right. He's good. Nate Oates. He's real good.
Okay, and I got Iowa State. Coach Prohm over there in
where was he at before, Iowa State?
I'm going to say was he at Murray State?
I can't remember. Actually, that might be right. He's the guy that came right after Hoiberg, right?
Yep.
Then, yeah, it should be.
I think it was at Murray State. Yeah. He's got the transfer from Virginia. Apparently, Shirek didn't like playing
defense.
That's
right, yeah.
That man is just going nuts.
He's
right
going
now
crazy.
He's getting bucket after bucket.
He left Virginia.
He's like, Tony, man, I don't want to play no more defense.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I want to go get buckets.
Too much defense.
I'm doing Iowa State. So they're throwing a high clip. I like Iowa State. I got Texas Tech in there, too. Obviously, you said Culver's is the man.
Yeah.
And they got some older guys, and older guys always help in tournament time.
Mm-hmm.
They're always their veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then my other one's Kansas. But I only got Kansas in there if Azubuike's playing. I feel like they're one of those teams that get beat in the first round.
Well, they just lost West Virginia, like
that's
you
what
said.
I'm saying.
So, yeah.
You know, it might be the first time in, 14 years they don't win the Big 12?
Yeah. Oh, it's been it's a ridiculous streak right now.
I mean, it's
I don't crazy. Know exactly what it is, but it's crazy.
It's 13 years, isn't it?
I think so.
I think this
it's
will be
around
the 14th.
There.
I mean, I don't think they're getting it. I really don't. You know, and then
Who's the top of that conference right now?
Texas Tech, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Jeez. That's crazy they dominated that conference like that. The conference is solid.
Yeah, it's solid. But they dominate, man.
Yeah.
You can't go listen. We go to Allen Fieldhouse. Okay, it's the first time I've ever been to Allen Fieldhouse on the GA there. We walk in that place and it's like an omen in there, man. Yeah, and they're doing that the whole game and they don't stop. They got this other crazy bird chant. I'm serious. I've seen teams go in there and you're just like, you know you're not winning. There's like an omen in there. I'm serious. You just walk in and shoot around stuff. You're like, whoa. It's like, I don't know if it's James Naismith haunting you or what. Like, I don't know what it is, but
Will Chamberlain?
You cannot, if you win at Allen Fieldhouse, you're doing something special. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah, that's a crazy place. It's an awesome environment.
Oh,
though.
Crazy environment.
Yeah,
they're going nuts. I don't even think the people sit down. It's kind of like Duke. They don't sit down.
Yeah.
It's kind of a small
Is it
arena.
Bigger than Duke?
Yeah, it's bigger than Duke. It's a nice. It's like kind of like
Cameron Eagle only Finghouse. Seats 9,000?
Yeah. I mean, it's not big. And you know what? And all the only reason it seats 9,000, the seats are literally like a foot between each other.
Yeah.
And they're wooden bleachers unless you're in the upper bowl.
Yeah. I've never been to Cameron Indoor. So when I found out it only seated like 8,000, 9,000, I was shocked.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it may be less than that. I may be wrong.
You've been to Hinkle Fieldhouse. It's kind of like Hinkle.
Where? Butler?
Yeah. It's kind of like, that's kind of like Kansas.
Okay,
is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's got a little more seating, though.
Right. It's nice. Butler's, Hinkle's nice. My last four, I guess my last four in, I got Villanova, Louisville, Kansas State, and Cincinnati. Villanova's got Phil Booth, Eric Paschal back from last year. The only thing is
no point guard.
You know, Quinterly's young, he's good, but he's not ready to lead them to a deep tournament run. And then Gillespie, they want Gillespie to be DiVincenzo. They want Gillespie to be Archidiaki.
Oh,
he's not that guy. But Villanova makes it because of Jay Wright.
Oh, Jay Wright, man. It's
how do you go against Jay Wright?
Oh, I don't know, man.
I thought Jay Wright was
suit. That's what they.
Oh man.
Suit. Hey, crazy story going back to Kansas.
Man, looking tight.
Bill Self's got the toupee. Best toupee in the biz.
The Trump toupee. His toupee is not on Trump level.
So you got Kansas with the Trump toupee, and then you got Jay Wright with
the suits.
With the $1 million suits.
Yes.
Like.
You don't go against Jay Wright. Jay Wright's the man. Moving on to Louisville. This Nawara dude, I don't know where he's from. I don't even know if he's a true freshman. He's gotta be a transfer. He's going crazy this year.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the stat sheet, and I was like, who is this guy? Because this Christian Cunningham, he's from Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I knew who he was. I think he played at Scott County. And then Dwayne Sutton was like a big high school prospect, so I knew who he was. I see this Jordan Ward dude averaging 18-8. I look at his highlights. I'm like, man, I do not remember him against Indiana at all.
No. Chris Mack, though, in March is good, too.
I literally have that right here. Big Chris Mack guy.
Yeah.
Big Chris Mack guy. Love Chris Mack. He's the man. Moving on, I got Kansas State as my second to last team. Fourth best defense in the country, only allowing 58.8 points a game. They got their top six guys back from last year's Final Four team. So, I mean, but that helps.
That hurts.
Yeah, yeah. But they got, Barry Brown.
Yep, Barry Brown.
Dean Wade is tough. Sneed, Stokes, Cartier Diarra, and Michael Malian. But they're good, though, man. I love their team. Watching them in the tournament last year, like, I thought they had a legitimate chance to win a national championship. Yep. Like, they were just on a roll, playing really good basketball.
They were.
And then last team, Cincinnati. Played with the Cincinnati guys a lot this summer at the gyms. I mean, you know, they're really good guys. Allowed the seventh least amount of points per game in country. I only averaging, giving up 60.9 points per game. I've known Jerron Cumberland since we were in fifth grade. And, you know, I know how much work he puts in the gym. He's averaging 18 a game this year, having a great guy. Justin Jennifer and Trey Scott, you know, those guys are really good guys. Great role guys for Cincinnati. And then,
I don't know. Has Benny Mick made it to an Elite Eight or Sweet 16?
Can Cronin get them over the hump? Because honestly, I thought last year was the best team he ever had at Cincinnati. Like, just like talent guys. Wise. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the best team he ever had. And they lost to Houston, who they beat, I think, every time in the regular season in the conference tournament. And then they get to the NCAA tournament. Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin Sampson.
Gets it done because Kelvin Sampson's the man.
Has he made it to an Elite Eight, though?
Kelvin Sampson?
No, Benny Mick.
Oh, no. No.
No. So he made it to Sweet 16. Has he got past around 32?
I don't think
he has.
How long has he been there?
A while. He's been there.
He was right after Huggins, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, he definitely hasn't made an Elite Eight.
No.
Maybe two Sweet 16s. Maybe. Because I'm trying to think. When Yancey and them were there, when Yancey Gates and them were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were decent.
What about when the kiss blower? What the heck's his name?
Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson. Didn't they make it to Sweet 16?
Maybe.
I don't even know if they did. I don't know. Anyway.
Steve, I forgot he went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, he went to Cincinnati.
Make him dance Lance.
My next four, I got Houston. I got Auburn.
Ooh, Bruce Pearl.
Florida State and UNC Greensboro. Got a couple sleepers in there.
Can't say no to any of them.
You know. Like you said, Calvin Sampson, Houston, can't go against him. Bruce Pearl at Auburn, he's got it going. Now, the only reason I got them in the Sweet 16, though, with their big man. They don't get their big man back, you know, I don't know. They're on
he's
a skid right now.
First round draft pick.
Florida
State,
I think he's a sophomore, has unbelievable talent.
And they're huge.
Yeah, and they're huge. And, you know, I just, Leonard down there, I don't know if he can get it done. But you never know.
How deep did they go last year? Elite Eight?
I think they did, didn't they? They went decently.
It was either Elite Eight or... Oh, yeah, they lost to Michigan.
Lost Michigan.
Yeah. They lost to Michigan in Elite Eight.
We'll see what he can do, but he's got a ton of talent down there. And then UNC Greensboro, I feel like you match up with them, you're in trouble. I just feel like they can score it. And Georgia.
And they're tough.
They'll give anybody a game. They've already given Kentucky a game this year, and I feel like they can just play.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, you just gotta play.
Yeah.
Play the right way.
Yep. And it's only for one game. You gotta win one game.
That's a huge
advance,
factor. Yeah,
survive in advance.
UMBC. So I left North Carolina and Virginia Tech out of mind because I literally have not watched them play one game yet.
Both same. North Carolina's overrated.
North Carolina's got Nasir Little. I know who he is because of Ball Is Life. Luke May, I know who he is because he went wacko in the tournament a few years ago. And then when it was 8 a.m. the night after dropping 30 in the NCAA tournament. Man's an animal. Then I got Seventh Woods named down because I played against him at AU.
Yeah.
He averages like 3 points a game for them. So
they're overrated.
He's got like one of the best high school mixtapes ever, though.
We'll see. Hey, Virginia Tech, you don't know. I just don't have him in there.
Because I haven't watched them play at all.
They have a really good big man. Blackshear?
Him. Blackman, and, well, they got Blackshear, this Nikhil Alexander Walker. He's good too. Seventh pick in the draft.
I know. But then they got a big man. They got guards. They got their left-handed guard. What the heck? Robinson, he's back. I mean, they're not bad. They're not bad. Do they get that far? I don't know. It's kind of like...
I like Buzz Williams.
I do like Buzz Williams.
I like Buzz Williams. Yeah, for sure.
Talk about energy.
Yeah, for sure.
The man has to change shirts at halftime. He's so sweaty.
He did ESPN for a little bit in between Marquette and Virginia Tech, didn't he?
A little bit, I think.
When he was on ESPN, like, that dude was...
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
That dude was like Seth Greenberg, but way better.
Way better. Seth Greenberg.
Because I'm not a big Seth Greenberg fan.
Come on. Don't get Seth Greenberg.
But Buzz Williams, I like Buzz Williams, though. Honestly, I think it's because they look like each other. They're both bald, and they got the round head. Whatever. Yeah.
But both white guys.
Buzz Williams. Buzz Williams is solid. And Virginia Tech, They're ranked really high too, which I know doesn't matter, but at the same time,
ACC like, though, they're playing against good teams every night. That's true.
That conference is tough.
Real tough. Best conference.
I tried to argue with somebody the other day that the Big Ten was better, and then they started making their case, and I was like, yeah, I might have struck out on that one. Yeah, exactly. ACC's tough.
I mean, they got depth too. I mean, you never know. Syracuse, you might they shouldn't be a sleeper, but that might be another sleeper.
I think it's a sleeper because some teams like come out against a 2-3 zone. They're like, what in the hell do we do?
You got
like,
the only guy.
What do I do against a 2-3 zone? Yeah. They're like, all I did in high school was go 4-low, yeah, exactly. Shoot hezzy pull-ups.
Exactly. You only got one day prep, too, in NCAA tournament. You play, yeah. I mean, that one. That's...
And Boeheim's been doing it for so long.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Although I heard their practices now are like Boeheim don't even show up for like 2 of the 5 practices they do every week.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't even show up to the practice. He's just like shoot. He's just like shoot around. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like he's, I don't know. He's like, how much time I got left?
Man? Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready to get out of here. But yeah, so that kind of wraps it up for the NCAA part.
Yeah.
We're done talking about the NCAA. Yeah. Moving on to the NBA. Today, the big news broke. Anthony Davis on the trade block.
He wants out, man.
He wants out of New Orleans.
Where's he going?
I mean, I heard Richard Jefferson say this today on ESPN. If the Lakers don't get him now, they failed. Like, getting LeBron, getting Lonzo, and all these guys.
But they got to get rid of Lonzo.
Well, that's fine. To get Anthony Davis, that's fine.
Yeah,
I like Lonzo a lot. I think he's really good. But, like, just let LeBron play the point and get Anthony Davis. Like, LeBron can do what Lonzo does.
LeBron wants Luke Walton now, too, though. I don't know how you coach LeBron. I don't know how you coach LeBron. Nobody's good enough for him.
Eric Spoelstra. See, LeBron's... I heard Nick Wright say this today. LeBron's got, this opinion that he's, like, this coach killer, but he's really not. I mean, he played for the same coach all 4 years in Miami.
Yeah, but he was the film coordinator before that. I mean, he wasn't telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, this is what we're going to do. I mean, Luke Walton's got to know a little bit about the game.
He only ran out one coach, really.
And he knew what he black. And he knew
he ran out Blatt.
He definitely ran out Blatt. And he ran out the
They lost in the finals. You're thinking Larry Brown, right?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown, yeah. Larry Brown. Larry Brown's a great coach.
Yeah, I was gonna say Larry Brown.
Larry Brown's a great coach. Larry Brown never coached LeBron. He would have been with LeBron. Blatt, the year they went to the finals with Blatt in 2015. Yeah. They lost. They got rid of Blatt the next year. They were still there, though. I don't
know. He was getting like 50 a night and still couldn't beat them. I mean, you're playing the Golden State Warriors, right?
That's pre-KD, though. Harrison Barnes and Andrew Bogut. They're still good. And this is all defending Stephen Curry, who is the greatest point guard to ever play the sport. But we're not getting into that right now.
Ugh.
But he is. And you guys just need to accept that. The quicker you guys accept that, the quicker I will shut up about it. But no, I think AD goes to LA. Honestly, if I were him, I would want to go to Boston and play for Brad Stevens and play with Kyrie.
He's struggling this year with those guys, though.
But, Kyrie
got to be butting heads or something.
The last week, though, like week and a half, they've been going.
Yeah.
Kyrie's been going nuts and the Celtics are winning. So.
Well, that was Kyrie's big thing. When he left Cleveland, I want someone that can actually coach, not Ty Lue, right?
Well,
he went to somebody that can coach?
Yeah, hell yeah. He's got one of the best.
And now he's butting heads with him.
See, Kyrie's weird. Like, talking about leaving. This type of situation is what makes me like dislike Jimmy Butler more and more. Like, the dude's in that case.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a winning situation. Why?
Yeah.
But yeah, AD's best bet is go to LA, team up with the best player in the world. And, you know, LA's probably got more assets.
They're going to have to get rid of him, though.
That's fine.
If you get rid of Kuzma, who do you have?
Ooh, see, look, I don't know. I don't even know if Kuzma's on the table.
He's on the table.
Now, see, I saw on Twitter today that the Knicks are a serious contender because he would re-sign with the Knicks.
Why wouldn't he re-sign with LA?
Well, I'm sure he would, but I'm saying, like, another thing is, like, the Knicks' assets compared to LA's might be just as good, if not better, because the Knicks have Kevin Knox. They got Kristaps Porzingis, who, if I'm the Knicks, the only way I'll get AD is if I can have both of them. Porzingis and AD. Yeah, I don't want to trade Porzingis for AD.
No.
And then the Knicks have a potential first overall pick coming up because they suck.
Yeah, they're bad.
I mean, like, they could be the first
thing. Porzingis is hurt, though, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, honestly, there's, like, rumors about whether or not they want to bring him back. Just shut him down. Don't bring him back.
Yeah, why would you bring him back?
Don't bring him back. No. Just go for the highest pick you can get. Yeah, exactly. Just tank it.
That's what we do nowadays. We don't ever try and get veteran win. We just
I'm all about tanking. The Chicago Bulls are terrible at tanking. Like, we're always like 6th, 7th pick. Like, either like suck really bad and get a top 3 pick, or make the play, or try and make the playoffs.
I agree.
Like, there should be no in between. You're like, oh yeah, we got the 9th pick. Like, who's ever been good at the 9th pick? I'm sure there have been good players in the 9th pick, but like, not that I can think of off the top of my head. But like,
the Atlanta Hawks pick right now, in the same draft as LeBron and them, was better than Darko Milicic. I'll just go with that.
You're not lying. Yeah, see, look, and even guys like that.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
I don't know who it was either, but yeah, he's definitely better than Darko Milicic, that's for sure. All right, so moving on to the next topic, we got defense in the NBA. Now, this is something that you always talk about. You really said that the main thing that makes defense worse nowadays, especially in the NBA, is are the rule changes.
The rules. I mean, you look at it, 83, 84, they went to no zones being played, which is fine. You should play man-to-man. You're in the NBA. Why are you playing zone? And then in 01, 02, I think it was, they went to the defense of 3 seconds. And when you go to that, you take away every help side that you have. Mm-hmm. And you take out the big man. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have either. So not only do you change the rules to make it more of a hindrance for the defense, you're just helping the offense. And that, like I said, that just trickles down. And everything that happens.
Personally, you know, and I don't know if it's a generation thing. I love how the NBA is now.
Oh, my goodness.
I love how the NBA is now. Like, how do you not like watching Kyrie Irving just solve somebody a one-on-one and then get a bucket? Like, how do you not love watching Stephen Curry do a between-the-legs, behind-the-back, you know, step-back tray ball from 30 at the end of a shot clock?
Wait till you have kids. You got your kids watching the NBA, right? All of a sudden, they come out in their first game they play. He takes 27 dribbles, goes between his legs, behind his back, step back 30 footer, and you're like, you're out. Wait until that day. And then when that happens, then you can come. We can have this conversation.
I'm not thinking that far ahead.
No, you're not.
I'm not thinking that far ahead.
It's good right now. Yeah, you like it, but
I love how it is now. I love the NBA. People are like, I can't watch the NBA because they don't play hard. They don't defend hard. Like, yes, they do, but they're trying to guard the best players in the world. Nobody is guarding these guys one-on-one. One-on-one, no help, right? But if Kevin Durant has you on an island.
Oh, you're in trouble. I mean, you're screwed either way.
Now, let's say Kevin Durant has you on an island and blows by you and there's help side down there. It's still not going to matter.
Oh, it's going to matter. You got a big man waiting for him.
You got a big man
waiting for him. It makes finishing more
difficult. You mean to tell me Kevin Durant's not going to drive baseline and jump out of bounds and throw a pass?
Okay, then you can
backside rotation. Guess what? One more.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I understand.
I love that type of basketball.
Oh my goodness.
And I may be using the wrong example because the Warriors play that way. Yeah. Not a lot of other teams play like that. No, not a lot of other teams are that unselfish.
How many dribbles does James Harden take into possession? Let's just go about that.
How many buckets is that man?
Oh, I agree. He gets buckets. Woo! But why does he get buckets? Because there's no one waiting for him to freaking wait. As soon as he goes up for a freaking shot, he gets hammered.
I know.
There's no the Jordan rules, man. There ain't nothing. They ain't got nothing like that.
There's we nothing go, like Michael Jordan, though.
No, we don't.
Nowadays,
no, we don't.
I'm a LeBron fan, but Michael Jordan was different. He was different.
But like I said, I mean, it's like the NBA, so that is the father figure of all basketball, right? Is that not the highest league?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, you grow up, the first thing you watch is the NBA.
It's the NBA.
Most of the time.
I mean, you watch the NBA.
Yeah.
So when the NBA goes to not playing defense or changing the rules of basketball to fit scoring, it trickles down. It's trickled down to college basketball. You go through it now, I mean, you look at the rule changes in college basketball now, I mean, it's hard to guard because all they're doing is getting foul shots. I mean, you got the cylinder rule, you got all these rules. I mean, cylinder rule is supposed to go to infinity.
You don't
got
to tell me. I shot 14 free throws in a game this year.
Exactly.
I got fouled on like 4 3-pointers in one game, so I mean.
I mean, it's crazy.
Another reason why I love basketball today. It fits my game.
Oh, my goodness.
I
mean, it fits your game.
It fits my game. I get to shoot shots. And if you touch me, it's a foul.
I mean, it's just taking guarding completely out of the game, though. It's taking it out of college, taking it out of the NBA. And now you see it at the AU level. There's no defense played. There's no defense played in high school. It's just this bad ball.
Honestly,
see a lot of ISO guys.
The amount of, like, so, like, for a what feels like a short amount of time, probably longer than it felt like, Ball's Life videos were dope. Like, everybody's like,
not everyone's got one.
Ball is life. But like, you watch Ball's Life videos now and you're like, what are the, like, who are these kids playing against? Like, what are they doing? Like, every time I watch a Zion Williamson video from high school, like, when I was watching those mixtapes, he was coming out of high school, I'm like, is he playing, like, a JV teams? Like, what are these, what is wrong with these kids? Like, I feel like the high school teams I was playing against were way better than this. Like, and then, you know, we're watching, like LaMelo Ball, like playing, like the way they play that Spire team, or like even how they played at Chino Hills. I'm like, this looks garbage.
Garbage. Man. It's garbage.
Yeah, it's trash. Garbage. Like, it doesn't look. That's what
the NBA's done it though.
And that's why none of their, and I'm gonna use the three Ball brothers example. Like, none of their games ever were as developed as they should have been.
No, not at all.
You and Lonzo was an exception because he went to college and he played for a solid coach. Steve Alford was solid.
He's not bad.
They need to change the UCLA. That's why he got out. But he was, I mean, they won a lot under Steve Alford. That year they had Lonzo, they were really good.
Yeah.
And he's a good point guard. I mean,
he's not bad.
He knows how to control the game. In the college game he did, he shot 40% from three in college. Now, in NBA, it's a little different because ISO ball is very popular now. He's not that type of player.
No.
He's more of like a Jason Kidd. You know, like, he's 10 years late into the league. Like, like, where now, you know, your guys that play the point aren't true point guards.
No. Look at Russell. That man's a freak.
Don't get me started on Russell Westbrook.
He's a freak.
He's
Tell me you can guard him one-on-one. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, like, hold on, man. There's not a lot of people I can guard one.
Hey, another big thing, too, why there's not as much help either, even if you had a defense at 3 seconds, we were at the Cavs practice facility, right?
The pain
is great. It might as well just be out to the three-point line.
That was the first thing I noticed when I walked in. I was like, if I lay down flat and put my arms out and my legs out, I don't think I could cover the entire paint.
I mean, the pain is huge.
What's crazy is, though, is you watch the guys on TV and, like, they're in a defensive stance. They're covering the whole paint.
Yeah.
Like, they're taking up all the space. Yeah. And, like, on our court, if you put two of them together, that's one NBA paint.
Yeah.
I never realized it was that big. Because it doesn't look that big on TV because those dudes are huge.
Huge, man. Huge.
God, that was the first thing I noticed when we went to...
Yeah.
You know, NBA 3, that's nothing. NBA 3, that's nothing. That's a layup. Yeah. Come on now. You're talking about the shooter, man. What are you talking about? NBA 3, that's nothing. That's a layup. I saw the paint and the length of the court.
Yeah.
Is it longer than college?
Yep. It feels like it, at least.
It's wider.
I think it's wider.
Because you got...
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Like, in college, Division II college basketball, you got Ethan Snaps on the court who don't take up any room at all. No. In the NBA... You got a lot of Kevin Durant's and LeBron's out there you know, you need that big of a court. So that shocked me how big that paint was.
Well, think about that. That's another rule change. So defense is 3 seconds and you widen the paint. How is there any help?
When did they widen the paint like that?
I don't know.
Has it always been that wide in the NBA?
No.
There's no way.
I think it didn't really happen until what? It happened recently, like 2008 or something, right?
I don't know. I never realized. I literally, this never occurred in my brain until I saw it in person.
And
I was like,
huge.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, it's ginormous. Like, it's literally, it has to be 6.5 feet wide. 7 feet wide.
I mean, it's probably another 3 feet wider than the college one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It has to be. And I just think, you know, if you go back to where, you know, the foundation of all basketball is the NBA, if you go back to that and you put that more in towards guarding somebody and you go to the rules and you say, hey, you know, we're hurting all of basketball with all this one-on-one, everybody's dribbling, there's no team concept. You go back to what the old rules were and let these guys play at that level and actually have help defense, you got good games. And I know it's hard to guard 82 nights or 82 games. Yeah, I'm not saying they have to guard 82 games.
Right.
But dang, you could at least guard a little better than what they do.
Right.
Especially, but I mean, like I said, it's the rules, though.
Another rule that makes defense back then and now so different is hand checking.
Oh yeah, big time.
Like, you watch those 96 Bulls games, 92-93 Bulls games,
forearm.
Jordan and Pippen are hand checking 94 feet.
Yep.
And they are not little guys.
No.
Like, they would push me all over the court. That'd be so bad.
No.
That would be so bad. So, like, nowadays, if they play like that in today's rules, Stephen Curry's getting 50
foul shots a game.
I mean, yeah, he's shooting...
Right?
He's shooting 18 foul shots a game, and he's going to make 11 threes. Like, he might score 85 points in a game if they guard like that now.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
But to me, that's not good defense, the way they used to play. Hand-checking?
What do you mean?
You're just, like, fouling. Like, it's just a blatant foul. Like, that's not good defense.
Why else do you stay in front of people, though?
Run. really
fast. I understand
fast.
You gotta slide your feet. And you gotta do all I don't that know. Other stuff. But my goodness, I mean, first of all,
don't guard the highest level of skill, the highest skill level basketball players in the world, 94 feet. Or like try and heat them up.
Who's pressing 94 feet?
Unless nobody. You're the game. They did back then though. Oh. And it's easier too because you're just bumping people, you're pushing them off, you know,
West
out of
Virginia
there.
Does it?
They used
they're
to.
They're not hand checking like that though. Right now?
No, because they've changed the rules of college basketball.
Okay, like Patino,
but they were.
Patino's guys were.
Yeah.
And even just 4 years ago when they won a national championship, well, it'd be 5 now, it's 2019. Well, they went, or no, it was 6 years ago. They won in 2013. Yep. It was Kentucky and Louisville won it back to back. Even just 6 years ago, like, they were still hand checking, being physical on guys. I mean, it was Peyton Steven and Russ Smith. And, you know, they're smaller Division I guards, but, like, that bothers the hell out of me to play against somebody who's 4 inches shorter than me.
Oh, I agree. They're right there at the ball level. Every time you bounce
And they're hand-checking you 94 feet and fouling you and bumping you. Oh, man.
It's part of the game.
I'd have been pissed. I'd have been so mad.
I'm tired of teams scoring 120 in the NBA. I'm tired of seeing it. Oh. It's like every night. It's like 148 to 131.
I love buckets.
I agree. I like scoring, too. Not saying I don't, but, I mean, dang. I want a little bit of defense played. I got to see something.
Right.
A little hustle, a little dive on the floor.
Yeah.
We got prima donnas now. Right. Look at LeBron. He about to get rid of another coach. He hasn't played D since his first year in the league.
That'll about do it, man.
It's been fun, man. I appreciate you.
This was fun. Yeah. I like this a lot.
We got to do this again.
We will. We'll definitely do this again. I definitely got to keep getting episodes of this out because I like doing these a lot. They're fun. Hopefully I can make it shorter in time. This one was actually really long.
Yeah,
we actually got some really good stuff in, though. So,
hey, man. Yeah. Maybe we'll be like foreplay one day.
Yes, I'm going to be on Fox Sports, ESPN.
Something.
Apple Pie. All of it. All of it. We're getting Snapchat everywhere.
Everywhere.
Shout out Bob Huggins, man.
Retweet
my podcast.
The podcast.
Come on, Bobby. Come on, man. All right, but that'll do it for episode 2 of Snapchat. Appreciate you coming in. Monica,
man, I appreciate you.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
This is big time guest tonight. Appreciate you guys listening. Go ahead and give the Snapchat podcast a follow on Twitter at Snapchat Pod, capital S, capital P. Go ahead and give my personal Twitter a follow at Ethan Snappy. And appreciate you guys for listening. This has been episode 2 of Snapchat Podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode, guys. Thank you.